Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blue Ridge Church. My name is Cody and I'm one of the pastors here. And I just want to tell you, if you're hanging out with us in person or online, we're so, so glad that you're here. And happy Mother's Day to all you mamas and grandmamas out there. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. We appreciate it. I hope that you feel celebrated today. I know there's some of you, too, at the same time when everybody is celebrating a day like today where you find yourself in a little bit different spot, that today you are reminded that this is a day your mom's no longer with you. I know that many of you are desperately want to celebrate a day like today, but your journey to motherhood has been a little more complicated than you imagined that it would be, and it hasn't worked out. I just want you to know that no matter how you approach a day like today, that we are glad that you're here and that you're spending part of your weekend with us. So thank you. This morning, we are continuing a series called Everybody Questions. And what we're doing is we're tackling some of life's biggest questions we think that everybody asks. And today we're tackling another hard question. And the question is, do all roads lead to heaven? Do all religions lead to the same place? Do they all lead to God? I think it's an important question for mamas, right? Because you want to make sure your kids are on the right path. But for all of us, it's an important question. And I think if we're honest, there's a question behind that question. Because, I mean, we're in Southwest Virginia, right? That there really isn't a whole lot of other options or religions or different spiritualities that we encounter a whole lot. Maybe you're tuning in, you know, from Northern Virginia, or maybe you work at tech and there's a little bit more diversity there. But I actually looked at some stats just out of curiosity, and 73% of Virginians identify as Christians. They say that they're Christians. 71% of people in the United States say that they're Christians. So, I mean, we're above average. We're doing pretty good, right? Now, the original question may be fair. Do all roads lead to heaven? But I don't think it's really the question that most of us are asking. I think the question that most of us are asking is just a little bit different. You may have a friend or you may have a family member that practices another religion, so you might be curious as to how we approach this question, but I think that the real question that many of you are asking this morning, many of us ask oftentimes, is what happens to us after we die? What happens to us after we die? Is there really a good place and a bad place? And if there's a good place, well, like, how do I make sure that I get to go to the good place? So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start slow. We're going to start by just being honest that there are destinations for every single one of us after death. And according to Jesus, there are only two. One is heaven, and one is the one that we don't like to talk about. That's hell. Now, the tricky thing is that Heaven and hell are intangibles. You know, you can't science those. You can't measure those. You can't sense those with our five senses. I know some of you are like, that's not true. Heaven, that was Wednesday night in Lane Stadium, right? Yeah, and what about when you were trying to get there and when you were trying to leave? That was hell, wasn't it? Yeah. Here's the point. You can't prove categorically without a shadow of a doubt that heaven and hell exist. They're intangibles. You can't sense them. You can't measure or weigh them. At some point, you have to take somebody's word for it. But there's another intangible that we have to talk about when we talk about heaven and hell, and the other one is the soul. The soul. Again, something you can't feel, taste, measure, weigh, any of those things. The Bible talks about the soul all over. David, James, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Peter, Daniel, and Jesus, and many more. And they talk about the soul, all of them, as if it's some sort of inner being, something that is distinct from the physical parts of us, but somehow connected too. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. So what Jesus says here is that the soul is more than just our brain and these chemical reactions and electrical impulses that we have. And it's more than just our heart, but there's some intangible thing deep down in the recesses of our hearts and our minds. And somehow it's intertwined with who we are and our body, but it's somehow separate. What I find interesting is that most major religions claim that we have a soul. Some part of us that outlives our body. The belief in Buddhism is that there's a soul that goes from body to body in reincarnation. In Islam, the belief is that the soul goes to be with Allah after a period of waiting. Even in pop culture, we talk about the soul. You can probably tell, but one of my favorite things is soul food. There's soul music, but don't ask Scott. According to him, there's only two kinds of music, country and Western. The most interesting thing, though, I find about the soul and all these different religions that have some sort of belief in the soul is that there's also an accompanying belief that believes in the immortality of the soul, that the soul survives death, that there's some part of us that goes and lives on past our bodies. And this is exactly how Jesus talked about the soul too. Matthew 25:46, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. See, according to Jesus, we all have a soul that will live forever. And according to Jesus, our soul will go to one of two destinations. And this brings us to learning number one. All people have an ultimate destination. All of us have an ultimate destination. And the first destination that we've got to talk about, let's just get the hard one out of the way. Let's talk about hell. We got to talk about it. Even though it's not a feel-good thing to talk about, especially on Mother's Day, we still got to talk about it. I mean, think about it like this, right? If you go to the doctor and the doctor's got to tell you some bad news, do you want a doctor who is going to tell you in a vague and unclear, like, you'll probably be fine kind of way? Or do you want a doctor who's going to give you an honest answer? Doctor's got to talk to you about something on the scan, and you want the doctor to tell you, not withhold information from you because that doctor's afraid that it's going to upset you. Well, this next verse that I'm about to read is one of those verses. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, they will all be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Now, not one mama or grandmama here today has that verse embroidered on a pillow, I promise. It's not a feel-good verse. But it's important that we talk about it because the Bible talks about hell. Jesus talked about hell. And we don't have to do it in like a fire and brimstone way, right? But if Jesus talked about it, we've got to talk about it. And the way that Jesus talked about it is that hell is a place where we are eternally separated from God. We're separated from God, and because we're separated from God, we're separated from love and joy and laughter. And because we're separated from God, we're separated from all the good that God made for us to enjoy, that he desires for us to enjoy. And it's not a fun place. Jesus says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal torment. But here's the good news. The good news is that there is another option. There is another option for an ultimate destination. And the other option is heaven. Listen to how Jesus describes heaven. In this description that we're about to read, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his closest followers. And because he's talking to them, he's talking to us too. If you're here this morning, you're online this morning, and you're a Jesus follower, this is a promise for you. John 14, 1 through 2 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" So the question is, what does this place look like? And we all have fantasies about what heaven looks like that we've gotten from books or cartoons or TV or whatever. That heaven is a place with pearly gates and streets of gold where we float on clouds and play harps and stuff. But this is my favorite description, and it comes from John when he writes the book of Revelation. "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever.'" This sounds like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? It sounds like the Garden of Eden, and really, this is what God was after and hoping for all along. To be with us again. To be with us like he was in the very beginning before bad things and sin entered into the world. And wherever he is, bad things are not. No more suffering, no more grief, no more tears. All of these things are gone forever. And so really we have a choice. We have a choice between one of two destinations, a place with tears and a place without. A place with God and a place without God. And if we pick the place with God, if we want to go to that place, well, then we have to make sure that we're on the right path. And how do we make sure that we're on the right path? And this brings us to learning number two. To go to heaven, we need peace with God. We need peace with God. And there's another question here, right? The question is, I mean, God made me. Like, why don't I already have peace with him? And the answer to this goes back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. They chose their way over God's way. And when they chose their way over God's way, they had some consequences to deal with. And the consequences that they had to deal with were not just consequences that they had to deal with. They were consequences that we have to deal with too. Because now each and every one of us, because Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered into the world, each and every one of us have a sin nature that we're born with. I mean, think about a toddler. You don't have to teach a toddler how to be selfish and bite and hit. They just do it, right? And we all start that same way. And we have to be taught how to live differently. We all start out the same way, looking out for number one. And who's number one? Me. Paul says it like this, Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." What Paul is talking about here is there's a gap between us and God, a gap that only Jesus can close. And ever since we went our own way in the garden, we've tried to find peace with God, or at least peace within our own mind or heart or whatever feels restless inside us, that we've tried to close that gap through other means. In the beginning of Romans, Paul says it like this, Romans 1:23, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. In this section, Paul is talking about an idea that we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That we've all tried to find our own way back to Him, or we've all tried to find peace, and instead of finding peace in Him, we've settled. We've settled for other gods. We've created other gods. Gods like money, stuff, status, pleasure, substances, work, fill in the blank. But along with those other things that we've created, other things have been created too, there are other religions. Literally, actually, other gods that we have created. It's impossible to discuss every other religion and really do them justice. But what I'm going to hope is to talk about a few of them to boil it down, like, well, what's their answer? What's their answer of what they would say, how do you get to heaven? And here's the thing. Here's what all religions have in common, is that every religion outside of Jesus tries to close that gap between us, between God, through our own means. In Islam, there's a big scale, and there's good on one side and there's bad on the other. And the objective is to try and do good things like giving to the poor and prayer and visiting religious sites. But to do enough good that you can outweigh the bad and tip the scales in your favor. In Buddhism and Hinduism, the thought process is that your soul goes to live on and you're reincarnated in a higher form if you live a good life. If I had my pick, I would choose a golden doodle in an upper middle class family, preferably empty nesters. You know, if you can be that specific, I don't know how it works. Now, the truth is that you can't pick, right? According to Buddhism and Hinduism, you have to climb a social ladder, and you have to climb that social ladder by being a good person. See, every other religion teaches do something or know something. But following Jesus isn't about knowing something. It's about knowing someone. It's not about doing something. It's about trusting in what Jesus has already done. Because Jesus offers a peace with God that no other religious approach has ever offered. Paul says it like this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is what's so powerful, because in no other religion does God put Himself on the line for us. While we were still a mess. And we don't accept God's gift by being a good person or trying to get cleaned up enough to come to Him so that He'll give us the free gift. No, we accept God's gift by having faith that God will make good on His promises, that Jesus is who He says that He is, and that He'll do what He said that He'll do. That's what faith is all about. Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because why? Because we tried really hard? Because we've been a good person? No, because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. And Paul tells us that when we accept this free gift of God, we are made right with God. And now our sins are no longer counted against us. Those things that we've done that have fallen short of God's glorious standard, they're no longer counted against us. Romans 8:1 says it like this: so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, for those that trust in Jesus, for those that accept this free gift, there is no more religious ladder climbing or scale balancing or good doing that could ever outdo the good that Jesus did on your behalf. That Jesus died in our place, a death that we all deserved so that we could live a life that we could never earn through our own means. A life of meaning and purpose and peace with God and eternal life and a relationship with God now and forever. And here's where we have to be careful. We have to be careful because we all have this tendency to want to drift towards religion to save us. Even Jesus followers have this tendency. You know, we've all heard these stories, right? People have this incredible encounter with God. And what do? They go home as fast as they can, and they grab the magazines that they shouldn't have, and they throw them away, and on the way home, they throw their cigarettes out the window, and they do all of these things. And then what happens is, as they take those steps, if they're not careful, they'll get judgmental. We get judgmental. And the problem is that even though we have no business being on a religious ladder anymore, even as Jesus followers, we start to climb that ladder and we forget to look up and we start to look down. And when we look down, we begin to look down on others. Look at me. Look at all these things that I'm doing to make God happy with me. And you guys need to get in line. And why can't you get your act together? We become judgmental. And we become judgmental because I think that we've forgotten what we're going to talk about next, and that's learning number three. We have peace with God through a relationship with Jesus. It's through a relationship with Jesus. Jesus talks about it like this. There's a narrow gate and there's a broad gate. And the broad gate leads to hell and the narrow gate leads to heaven. He says it like this in Matthew 7. 13 through 14, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. This is kind of a scary section. Until we realize what Jesus is talking about here, what he's talking about is the broad gate. He says that many people go that way, and it makes sense. Because what he's talking about is the broad way is the way of all these other religions, all these other philosophies and ideologies that say, I can do it myself. I can have peace with God if I just do X, Y, and Z. But the narrow gate is different. The narrow gate is peace with God based on what Jesus has done. A reminder that knowing peace with God rests not on our shoulders, but on Jesus' shoulders. And there's no way to have peace with God without a relationship with Jesus. Jesus says it like this in John 10:9, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. And they will come and go freely and find good pastures. See, again, we're going to be honest. This is what is so hard about a topic like this. Like the question that we have before us today, the hard thing is the exclusivity of following Jesus. That some can get left out. Jesus said it like this in John 14:6. Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. this is what's hard, right? And it's hard because all these other religions have this broad approach that's going to lead to hell. All different versions of saying, you know, I'm just going to try and be a good person. And there's a trend, and people say this all the time now, and I get it. What people say is, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And what that person means is that organized religion has hurt lots and lots of people. And so I'm going to distance myself from organized religion and just say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I get it. I understand the temptation. There's been a lot of organized religion, including Christianity, that's hurt lots and lots of people. But what I would say to a person like that who is trying to be spiritual without being, you know, religious, is that being spiritual is just another attempt at trying to be a good person. Well, then the question is, well, what's the problem with trying to be a good person? What's the problem with good deeds? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing wrong with trying to be a good person because God wants us to be a good person. But the trouble is when we begin to lean on that identity of being a good person as if that identity is going to get us into heaven. Isaiah reminds us that our good deeds are never going to be enough. They're never going to measure up. In Isaiah 64:6, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Again, I don't say this to scare us. I say this because it goes back to that doctor thing. You know, do you want a doctor with great bedside manner who just lies to you? Or do you want a doctor who will tell you the truth? Because the truth begins the treatment. And here's the truth. The truth is that we all have a terminal disease. And the terminal disease that we have is called sin. And sin has the power to separate us from God now into forever. And it's not really nice or honest for me to tell you, hey, just try and be religious, just try and be a good person, or you don't have to be religious, you could just be spiritual and you'll be all right, like just do your best and God will honor that. But the truth is that God doesn't want you to be busy trying to please him, following all of his laws and rules to try and make yourself have peace with him. Instead, God wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, God saved you by his grace when you what? When you got your act together? When you stopped sinning? When you straightened yourself out? No. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation, being saved from our sin nature, eternal life in heaven, that doesn't rest on our own effort. It rests on Jesus' effort. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. 1 John 5:12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And again, this is where it gets hard because we bump up to this idea of the exclusivity of Jesus. That we see that God has provided no other way that we can have a right relationship with him. And we're tempted in moments like this, in the face of that reality, in the face of verses like that, to get angry. to get angry and to think of others. Well, what about people who don't know God? And it'll break your heart if you think about it. But the truth is that as exclusive as it is, that Jesus is the gate and you have to have the Son to have life, the message of Jesus is incredibly inclusive at the very same time. And then if it breaks your heart, imagine how it breaks God's heart. Peter says it like this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I sure am glad that God was patient with me, that he's still patient with me. The truth is that God doesn't want anyone to end up in any other destination other than the destination that has him in it forever. Here's the bad news. There is no amount of good that you and I could ever do to outdo the good that Jesus has done. There's no amount of religion that we could participate in, no amount of spirituality that will ever save us. There's no amount of money we can give. There's no amount of alms we can give. There's no amount of service we could do. There's no amount of groups we could participate or lead. There's no amount of anything that we could do that will save us. But here's the good news. The good news is you don't have to. The question that we've been asking this morning really is, how good is good enough? How good enough to get into heaven? And the goodness of Jesus is the answer. We have to be that good. We don't get that good by just trying really hard. We get that good by having a relationship with Jesus. That's it. And so the question that we really need to ask this morning is, do I trust Jesus with my life? I have life if I have the Son. I don't have life if I don't have the Son. Do I trust Jesus with my life in this life and for the one to come? Let's pray together. Jesus, would you help us answer that question this morning? Just in the quietness of this moment, it's just between you and us, that we can have absolute 100% confidence that we're going to go to a destination with you. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what you have done. Pray that if there's somebody that needs to take that step today, to invite you into their life, to invite you into their heart, that they would do that. That they would say, Jesus, I need you. I realize today, or I've been reminded today, that trying to do good, I realize I've been just chasing my tail. And I know that you have good for me that you just want to give me. That you'll no longer see my flaws and my mistakes and where I've fallen short. But when you look at me, God, you're going to see Jesus instead. What a gift. That's why I want to begin to follow you today. Just in this moment, if there's anyone that needs to say a prayer like that, just say it. To begin following him today. Jesus, for those of us who have been following you for a while, my prayer is that you would keep this always before our minds so that we don't accidentally become judgmental towards others who we think they're not doing it right. Or we're better than they are. We're not. For those of us who have been following you for a while, remind us that you have placed us where you've placed us on purpose for a purpose, to reach those that don't know you, to tell our story, to tell them about you and how they can have peace with you too. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer for something going on in your life this morning, I want to invite you to the front. There's a prayer team here that would love to pray for you at the end of the service. If you made a decision to invite Jesus into your life, would you let us know? You can fill out the Connect card on the app or stop by the hub on your way out and grab, we got a gift for you there. If you made that decision online, let us know and we'd be glad to mail you a box. If you've come prepared to give today, there are some boxes in the back of the room and then also in the lobby. And of course, you can give online. Celebration Sunday is Memorial Day weekend. So that weekend, Sunday, we'll meet at the river at 9 for anybody who wants to get baptized at the river. And then if you just want to come hang out with us, it's always a super fun time. And then at 11, we'll do baptisms and child dedications here at the church. So we won't have three services that day, just one service at 11. We're all going to celebrate together, hang out together. Next Sunday is also fifth grader Sunday. And so if you've got a fifth grader that's going into sixth grade next year, bring them to children's ministry just like you normally would. But then at the end of church next week, you'll pick them up from the middle school space over here. The team's going to take them through, just give them a chance to get familiar with the middle school space a little bit before they move up in June. But again, thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Hope y'all have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see y'all next week. See ya.